The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
This week it's Robert E. Lee. I noticed that Stonewall Jackson's coming down. I wonder, is it George Washington next week? And is it Thomas Jefferson the week after? You know, you really do have to ask yourself, where does it stop? George Washington was a slave owner. Was George Washington a slave owner? So will George Washington now lose his status? Are we going to take down statues to George Washington? How about Thomas Jefferson? What do you think of Thomas Jefferson? You like him? Okay, good. Are we going to take down the statue? Because he was a major slave owner. Now, are we going to take down his statue? So you know what? It's fine. You're changing history. You're changing culture.
That, of course, is Donald Trump, president, back in 2017 after the Charlottesville violence. The contentious press conference as he was going back and forth, saying there at the end, look, you're changing history. And the reporters, they really wanted to draw a distinction between some of those Southern generals during the Civil War and, of course, the founders. Now, look, we're not coming after George Washington. We're not coming after Thomas Jefferson. Well, as it turns out, Donald Trump was right. In fact, just really a few months after that statement, you saw them targeting the founders. And then, of course, this week, we hear the news about that, the assembly in New York City, some government facility that is removing a statue of Thomas Jefferson, third president of the United States. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Can hardly believe we're at the last broadcast, the last live broadcast of the week. Of course, we post these programs after the fact, so you can get to our live stream page at our website, thetrumpet.com. thetrumpet.com/live takes you to the stream, the live stream page, and also to those podcasts that you can watch on demand. Lots and lots to get to on today's program. Joe Biden, fresh off of all of that that propaganda in Scranton and the fairy tales that he was telling, as I covered on yesterday's program. He's at a town hall last night. Of course, it's with CNN. It's with Anderson Cooper. Cooper's lobbing him in some nice softballs that he can hit right out of the park. And at one point, Anderson Cooper asked him about this statue being removed in New York City. Here's clip 7.
New York City is removing a statue of Thomas Jefferson from its legislative chamber because of Jefferson's history as a slaveholder. Do you support that decision?
Well, I think that's up to the locality to decide what they want to do on that. Look, there's a lot of people have no social redeeming value historically. And there's others who have made serious mistakes in terms of what exists now in terms of what we should be talking about, but have done an awful lot. So it depends. It depends. And
it just depends, he says. Depends on the locality, the city, and, some people have made a lot of mistakes, and some really shouldn't be, they shouldn't be recognized at all. But it's up to them. It's all part of the attack, isn't it? We had a Trumpet Magazine article last year. I forget the exact month, but I pulled it up here from our website. The real reason for the attack, this was written by Richard Palmer, but he says, if you believe the Bible, you must accept the existence of an evil spirit being who hates God's plan and who hates what God is doing through Israel. He talks about the blotting out, even of the name of Israel, that prophecy referred to over in 2 Kings 14. Richard says, you see this in the self-hatred among the radical left in Britain and America. You see it just in our nations, Israelite nations, Britain and the United States. Russia's not doing it. China's not doing it. Nobody else does this except Israel. Except the modern-day nations of Israel. It says you see the self-hatred in America and Britain. You see it in there. In that hatred for Britain and America and nations around the world, and you see it today in the hatred for its history. This is why, or rather, that is what the attacks on Nelson, Drake, Washington, Jefferson, Lincoln, Roosevelt, and more are all about. It's about blotting out the name of Israel. It's all about the communist revolution, the attack on America. In 1956, Mr. Armstrong wrote about that communist infiltration, how that they're waging psychological war on America. It's psychological warfare of propaganda, infiltration, subversion, demoralization. It's a warfare that has attacked our minds and our moral and spiritual values rather than our bodies and our earthly possessions. He says it's a kind of warfare we don't understand or even know how to cope with. It uses every diabolical means to weaken us from within, sapping our strength, perverting our morals, sabotaging our educational system, wrecking our social structure, destroying our spiritual and religious life, weakening our industrial and economic power, it says, and finally demoralizing our armed forces. And finally, after such infiltration, overthrowing our government by force and violence. It's all part of the communist revolution. This is the outcome they want. They want. It's just like Laura Logan has said about the southern border. If they wanted to stop that illegal flow, they could. They could do it just like that. The Washington Post, by the way, says arrests have soared to an all-time high. According to the Post, says U.S. authorities detained more than 1.7 million migrants along the Mexico border during the 2021 fiscal year that ended in September. 1.7 million detained in just 1 year. It says an arrest by the Border Patrol soared to the highest levels ever recorded, according to unpublished U.S. Customs and Border Protection data obtained by the Washington Post. And where are all these illegal aliens going? Well, you've probably seen these reports of them being flown all over the country. Here again, in the dark of night, Peter Ducey asked Jen Psaki about this earlier this week, by the way. What about these middle-of-the-night flights? Well, they're not in the middle of the night. 2:30 a.m. and 4:30 a.m., I think they are. He had the specific times. And here again, she tried to just say, it's not really happening that way, Peter. We're not trying to conceal anything. They're flying them all over the country. And in some cases, right in the middle of the night. Speaking of illegal aliens, you may have heard of this horrific attack on a subway or a train in Philadelphia. This man who raped this woman in broad daylight, even as people stood by and watched. Nobody stopped him. Nobody stopped this rapist. What is going on with rape and sodomy like we saw in Loudoun County? We've covered that on this program previously, just last week. A 14-year-old girl raped. Here's a woman on a train. And you can't even get bystanders to step in there and to pull the man away. And now we know. Now we know that the man was an illegal alien. This is from Sam's news gathering. He entered the U.S. illegally in 2012, or I guess it was legal then, but he overstayed his visa. He was never deported despite having multiple arrests and a prior sex offense conviction. We just let him out. We let him out, just like the transgender from Loudoun County. He rapes a girl and, well, we send him to another school so he can rape someone else. Here's a man who should have been deported. He was in the court system, but he was allowed to stay, even though he had all of these crimes, this rap sheet. And then now he rapes a woman on a train in Philadelphia. That woman's life, well, that's a scar that she'll never be able to remove. And the police there in Philadelphia are left to wonder, you know, why didn't someone speak up? Why didn't someone rise in her defense? That's America today. It's all part of the attack. It's all part of 2 Kings 14, isn't it? There's a spirit behind it all. Joe Biden, you've heard about his trillion-dollar spending packages that he's trying to get through. He's not having quite the success he was hoping to have in Congress. $1.5 trillion for infrastructure, $3.5 trillion for build back better, build back worse, actually, if you want a proper description. The House Committee on Oversight and Reform, within the Republican Party, they put out this newsletter called Waste Watch, and yesterday's edition highlighted all of these, just these crazy components to the spending packages that the fake Biden administration wants to put forward. The plan provides, again, these are some notes from Sam's Gathering. It says, the plan provides ultra-wealthy families above $800,000 annual income with massive tax breaks, as well as tax breaks for private universities, media companies with over 750, basically all these left-wing organizations, these big, big organizations, in fact, the wealthy, you know, the ones that they say they want to tax. But if they're friends, if they're allies of the Communist Party, they get breaks. They get funding. They get bailouts. Speaking of that town hall yesterday, listen to what Joe Biden, he slips into the whispering mode again, but leave that aside. This is clip 8.
Now, here's the deal, though. You have 55 corporations, for example, in the United States of America, making over $40 billion. Don't pay a cent. Not a single little red cent.
I'm not sure what he's talking about there. They don't pay a cent. So we got to get them. We got to go after them. We've got to raise their taxes. They're the ones that are going to pay for these $5 trillion packages we're putting out. It's not going to cost anything. It's all pay. In fact, you're going to get a tax break, except for those ones he mentioned in the town hall last night. And then you go through and look at some of the fine print. It's destroying America. And this is what they want. It's all part of the communist revolution. And this from that, again, that watchdog report. $3.5 billion to pay climate activists, $34 billion in subsidies to free special interest groups. The IRS gets bulked up and will force banks to report every transaction of any account with over $600. There's been quite a lot of pushback against that. We're just going after the wealthy. Well, why do you have to spy on everyone who's just got $600 in their account? They're going after everyone. They're going after you. They're going after your bank account. It raises taxes on natural gas. Amnesty for 8 million illegal immigrants. Well, they're already pretty much getting it. Just shipped all over the country, as I say. Zero funding for rural America. Forget about the farmers. Forget about the people that live in the flyover areas. No, no funding for you. $20 billion to the National Climate Bank to send kickbacks to radical environmentalists. That's according to this watchdog report. It's all part of the attack. Yesterday, the Attorney General, Merrick Garland, he was testifying there, I believe, in front of a House committee, and some of them, to their credit, some of these Republicans were grilling him pretty good on the two-tiered system of justice right now in the United States, on why the DOJ is working so hard to go after the January 6th protesters, but not the transgender rapists. That's not something that the DOJ is going to be bothered with. Of course not. They're not going to go after a transgender. There's white parents that we can target instead. He believes parents who disagree, and they're not all white, by the way. There's a lot of black parents who've basically testified or given their 60 seconds of voicing their disapproval before these arrogant school boards that turn off the mics or just shout them down or whatever it is that they do. But then he's in this testimony. He's obviously sent out the memo, Merrick Garland, saying, yeah, the DOJ, and they're showing up, believe me. There was a school board meeting in Fairfax, Virginia last night. You've got cop cars outside. You've got federal automobiles outside. They've got to track those parents. If those parents raise their voices like the father of that victim did, well, they'll drag him out of that school board meeting. You got to get him in jail. He's dangerous. And meanwhile, he gets asked, Merrick Garland, he gets asked about that case where the transgender rapes, sodomizes a 14-year-old girl, and then the school board just quietly sends him over to another school. Tells the parents, just keep it quiet, let it play out in court, we don't want to draw attention to this. And the predator ends up raping another girl. Merrick Garland's asked about this yesterday. Oh, he doesn't know anything about it. Listen to these school board officials. These are Loudoun County school board officials from earlier this summer, basically saying publicly, saying in front of parents, yeah, there's nothing to see here, nothing to worry about here. There's no problem with our bathrooms. There's no problem with transgender attacks. Everything's perfect. This is clip 10.
Do we have assaults in our bathrooms or our locker rooms regularly? I would hope not, but I would like clarification.
To my knowledge, we don't have any records of assaults occurring in our restroom.
Have we had any issues involving transgender students in our bathrooms or locker rooms since the passage of 1040?
Ms. Sheridan, we have not had any issues to my knowledge.
The issue of assaults taking place or transgender students assaulting other students in the restroom. Time magazine in 2016 called that a red herring. If a crime or a violation of the rules is committed, that would be investigated and dealt with to the full extent of the rules or the law. But the predator transgender student is or person simply it does not exist. And
our students do not need to be protected. And they are not in danger from their transgender peers.
Now, we've heard this before, haven't we? Everything's perfect. It's just perfect. You heard from the superintendent there, I believe. It's Scott Ziegler. He's quoting from a 2016 article that says, no, there's no problem. It's a red herring. There's no problem with this being a danger to little girls. And these same people that you just heard from, they covered up a rape. They covered up a rape and they tried to silence the parents. And the DOJ could care less. They could care less about this. Listen to this exchange between Representative Chip Roy as he grilled A.G. Garland just yesterday. Clip 9.
Attorney General Garland, are you aware that because Loudoun County prosecutors confirmed that the boy who assaulted this young girl in Broad Run High School is the same boy who wore a skirt and went into a girl's bathroom, sodomized and raped a 14-year-old girl in a different Loudoun County high school on May 28th? Are you aware of those facts?
This sounds like a state case, and I'm not familiar with it.
Because on June 22nd, at a school board meeting in Loudoun County, Virginia, the superintendent, Scott Ziegler, declared in front of the father of the girl who had been raped that the predator, transgender student, or person simply does not exist. And that, to his knowledge, we don't have any records of assaults occurring in our restrooms. When this statement bothered the father of the girl, I'm a father of a daughter, I believe you are too, sir, the girl who had been raped, sodomized in the bathroom of a high school by a dude wearing a skirt, that father reacted. Now, that father reacted by simply using a derogatory word. Would that statement have bothered you if your daughter had been raped, if somebody said that it didn't occur?
Again, I don't know anything about the facts of this case.
Yeah, now you see, we want to draw a very careful distinction between federal authorities and a state issue. He's not even aware of it. It's because he's tuning into MSNBC every night. Never hears anything. He listens to the school board representatives, I suppose. Yeah, maybe he's read the 2016 Time article. The Time article said there's no problem with this. Just open up the bathrooms to whoever. If it's a man and he says he's a woman, let him go in there and shower with the girls. That's no problem. Time says so. And so there's the Attorney General, the same Attorney General who has unleashed the DOJ on parents of children, upset about CRT, upset about mask mandates, upset about whatever it might could be, wanting to just voice their disapproval of the way these schools are being run. They're the real danger. They're the big problem. Now, in that case, we've got to get into state issues, the DOJ says. In that case, the head of the DOJ, the Attorney General, he writes a memo saying, you better believe we're going to get into these states because we got to watch the parents. The parents are the real threat. Another boogeyman. Listen to what the fake president said yesterday about what he sees as the greatest threat in the United States. Clip two.
And finally, we're confronting the stains of what remains a deep stain in the soul of the nation, hate and white supremacy. You know, there's a tough through line of subjugation of enslaved people from our earliest days to the reigns of radicalized terror, the KKK, to Dr. King being assassinated. And through that, though that line continues to be the torches emerging from dark shadows in Charlottesville, carrying out Nazi banners and chanting anti-Semitic bile and Ku Klux Klan flags, and the violent, deadly insurrection on the Capitol 9 months ago, it was about white supremacy, in my view.
White supremacy. You know, you keep the dangerous through line. It goes from slavery, started in 1619, comes right through to today. January 6th, white supremacists, KKK, that's the greatest threat. They keep talking about this, and there's no evidence of it to speak of, maybe in some far remote corner somewhere. There's no evidence. But they keep bringing, and they're hoping, believe me, they're hoping, they're hoping that this explodes into some kind of, they tried to make it out of January 6th. Sam noted this morning that that verse in Revelation 12, Satan is the accuser of our brethren. He accuses people. There's nothing there. No parents have threatened lives of superintendents or school board officials. Or if they have, it's been words. That's the words, though, from parents are more dangerous. They're more dangerous than the rape of a 14-year-old girl. They're more dangerous than a transgender predator who's raped two people. We gotta watch out for the words of the mom who's upset about critical race theory. This is the grave danger. White supremacy. That was behind January the 6th. One more from Joe Biden yesterday, clip three.
I've said it before, and all my colleagues here know it. According to the United States Intelligence Community, domestic terrorism from white supremacists is the most lethal terrorist threat in the homeland.
If that's the case, why do they have to infiltrate these Trump protest movements? Whether it's with the kidnapping of the Michigan governor or January the 6th. Why do they have to have... they finally played this video of this guy saying, we got to storm the Capitol
And then all the Trump supporters around him, this was the day before the January 6th protest, all the Trump supporters around him said, what are you talking about? Storm the Capitol? And invade the Capitol? And then they all started chanting, he's a Fed! He's a federal agent! He was! The guy hasn't even been arrested. You would think he'd be at the front of the line as far as the DOJ and FBI are concerned to get him in jail. He's talking about an actual insurrection. Revolver used to write about this months ago, as did Gateway Pundit and some of these sources that we refer to from time to time. But finally, it comes out in a hearing. And here again, Garland, I can't really comment on that. I don't really know much about that. Listen to this exchange. This is Louie Gohmert, again, trying to shed some light on what happened on January 6th. And notice how Merrick Garland answers in each case, clip 11.
Has any defendant involved in the January 6th events been charged with insurrection?
I don't believe so.
Were any of those people who broke glass and did damage to those doors working for the FBI or other federal law enforcement entities?
And this is an ongoing criminal investigation, and I'm really not at liberty to discuss.
Was a determination ever made as to who repeatedly struck Roseanne Boylan in the head with a rod before she died?
Again, I think this was a matter that was investigated by the U.S. Attorney's Office. And
There's a witness on video saying that it was a D.C. Metro policeman. I didn't know if you'd been able to confirm or deny that. Well, on June 22nd of 2016, Judge, most of the Democrat members of Congress took over the House floor, and for the first time in American history, members of Congress obstructed official proceedings, not for 4 to 6 hours, but for virtually 26 hours, not just violating over a dozen House rules, but actually committing the felony that some of the January 6th people are charged with.
That was just a few years ago, 2016. And nobody, of course, they're Democrats. They can protest. They can hold up Congress for 26 hours, no problem. Policemen, they can bash in the head of a Trump supporter. Ashley Babbitt, she can be gunned down by the Capitol Hill police. FBI agents, they're in there trying to provoke. Because, again, it's white supremacy. If you can provoke an attack of some kind, then we can really crack down hard. And they are cracking down hard. 650 people have been arrested. None of the FBI infiltrators, the Antifa people, they got a slap on the wrist. But if it's a Trump supporter taking a selfie, well, that fits right in the narrative that Joe Biden was trying to reestablish yesterday. The accuser of our brethren, the devil, he just accuses and accuses and accuses, even if there's nothing there. When we come back, we'll conclude today's show with our Bible study segment. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the show, you can email us at td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, and even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Fleury's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
The two things that concern me, one are those who just try to make this a political issue. Freedom. I have the freedom to kill you with my COVID. No, I mean, come on. Freedom.
The freedom to kill you with my COVID? He's obviously going after the unvaccinated. But look, 2017, Donald Trump was talking about, you know, where does this stop? How does this end? Now they're talking about those who choose to not get this experimental drug injected into their bodies. They're killers. They're murderers. Look at what they're trying to stir up with respect to Trump supporters. White supremacy. Well, it's the through line that went from slavery right through to January the 6th. And they're going after them. How much longer before they go after the unvaccinated? It's already happening with respect to people's livelihoods, their jobs. Even with all of these adverse reactions, even reported by the CDC. Robert Redfield, he was the former CDC director. He was on Fox this week. He said a lot of times people may feel it's a rare event that fully vaccinated people die. I happen to be the senior advisor to Governor Hogan in the state of Maryland. In the last 6 to 8 weeks, more than 40% of people who died in Maryland were fully vaccinated. So the vaccine's not even protecting you from COVID. In truth, it's just wiping out people's immune systems. It's making them more vulnerable. And then you add to that this sudden rise in deaths across the board in Germany, in the UK, and yes, even here in the United States. Alex Berenson spoke to this on Tucker's show the other night. This is clip 4.
Deaths are suddenly running higher than normal. And that's been true in the UK for several months. Remember, the UK vaccinated a lot of people early this year. They've had deaths running higher than normal for a couple of months. Germany, the vaccinations happened closer to the spring, and they've had deaths higher than normal in September. We don't know why. In the UK, where there's more data, it looks like there's a lot of cardiovascular deaths that are driving this. In the US, there has been an excess in mortality in people under 50 that has gone on for 2 years now, and we have a terrible number of deaths happening in people that age. There's a couple possibilities. One possibility is that some COVID deaths are being miscounted, although we count COVID deaths very aggressively. Another possibility is that it's these lockdown / drug overdose deaths, although Europe doesn't have nearly the problem that we do with that. Another possibility, and I hesitate even to say this out loud, Tucker, because I know what the response will be, is that this is cardiac related and it is something to do with the mass vaccination campaigns.
All of these mysterious deaths. Could it have something to do with the mass vaccination campaigns? All these testimonials on social media. Saw one just this morning, a guy down in Australia, he and his girlfriend. They work out regularly, in good shape, physically fit. They get the jab, and then the myocarditis or whatever other itis sets in. Heart problems, basically. He says he goes into the hospital, and that's the first thing they ask him. Hey, I've got a problem with my heart. Something's not right here. My arm's killing me. Did you get the vaccination recently? There's Alex Berenson talking about what no one wants to talk about, what no one will talk about. This mysterious rise in deaths overall. And it's happening in these nations that have been, well, they've had a mass vaccination campaign, that's for sure. Listen to this exchange between Tucker and Berenson from the other night, clip 5.
Is there a highly aggressive, organized effort to figure out why these people are dying?
I would say there's a highly aggressive, organized effort to to prevent anybody from talking about this data. You know, I was kicked off Twitter. I was forced onto Substack. Nobody talks about it except you.
So there you go. You just can't talk about it. People die from the vaccine. Just don't talk about it. Or according to OSHA's new standards, just don't even submit a report. Don't tell anyone. Just keep it quiet. There's too much money on the line for Pfizer. There's too much on the line politically. I mean, we're talking about control over people's lives. So just get the jab and shut up about it. Just get the jab. I mean, you want to talk about Revelation 12 and the accuser of our brethren. Satan has deceived this world. He's deceived this world. And people, I mean, they worship Big Pharma. They worship the medical industry. They worship people like Fauci, even when he's exposed as a complete and total fraud. The NIH comes out just this week and says, well, we did fund gain of function. I mean, we outsourced it to China, even going back to the Obama years when they wanted to do it in, I forget the guy's name, in North Carolina, Daszak. They wanted to do it there. Obama said, no, what if it leaks out? Then you fast forward. I've played the clip for you before. Fauci right there at the start of Donald Trump's presidency. We will have a pandemic in this term, in this presidency. He was guaranteeing it. Even as Obama on the way out, he was lifting any kind of restrictions that were holding back gain of function research. They were smart enough not to do it on America's homeland. They outsource it to Wuhan. And here comes this bioweapon, and it's still being used by these radical communists. It's still being used. It's all part of the revolution. It's all part of the socialist revolution. It's all part of the plan, just like Mr. Armstrong talked about in 1956. And, of course, my father ever since, Mr. Armstrong's death. We have it in He Was Right, the booklet, the brochure. Contact our operators today to request that, 1-866-930-3024. And also be sure to subscribe to The Trumpet Magazine, that article I've referred to quite often over the last couple of weeks, the dangerous will worship that we see in our nations today. In the case of the United States, America under attack. On yesterday's show, just to shift gears over to our Bible study, I just wanted to try to get through a few of those things because what Berenson said on Tucker the other night, as he said there's a concerted effort to blot it out, and nobody talks about it. You can't talk about it, or you're censored, you're blotted out, you're banned. But there is good news in the return of Christ, as I was saying yesterday. I gave you some history, some important history there from Ezekiel 28, from Isaiah 14. We went back to the early chapters of the book of Genesis and what happened there in the Garden of Eden. As Herbert Armstrong said, we're right here at the nearly at the end of the age of man and the end of the movie, so to speak, and we need to go back to the beginning and understand what happened before with Lucifer's rebellion, with the creation of Adam and Eve, and then Genesis 3, the sequence of events there with Adam and Eve taking from the forbidden tree. And then God coming along and saying, all right, you've made your decision. You've rejected my government, my revelation. And so he sent them forth. He kicked them out of the Garden of Eden. As I said earlier this week, God has, he's always trying to get angels and men to create a Garden of Eden utopia and conquer Satan in the process. Lucifer and one-third of the angels, they failed in that mission. Adam and Eve, same thing. But God's purpose still stands. It will not be deterred. When Adam sinned, God set in motion this great master plan for yet redeeming sinning mankind and restoring the government of God on this earth.
as we talked about earlier in the week. Acts 3, verses 19 to 21. The restitution of all things. The restoring, and restore means to put back in place something that was taken away. The government of God was taken away from this earth at the rebellion of Lucifer and one third of the angels. This is what it says, coming back to the plan that was set in motion. 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19, it says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things or silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. So it was decreed that Jesus Christ would be slain in payment for the penalty of all human sin. That's the plan that was set in motion from the very beginning of human civilization. I mean, God knew it going in. He had plan B in mind, but it was much greater risk. This is what was set in motion, though, after the sin of Adam and Eve. Verse 20, it says, "Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." So as I say, even before the foundation of this world, God had this in mind already. He knew there was a good chance, because of the devil being on the throne of this earth, he knew there was a good chance that humanity would be taken captive by the God of this world. And that happened. That happened. Let's switch over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Notice this. Verse 19 says, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." There's not much hope in Adam's world. There's not much hope in this present evil world. I mean, look around you. Look at what's happening to our nations. I mean, Mr. Armstrong in 1985, compared to today, that almost seems like a Garden of Eden environment. It wasn't, of course. I'm not saying that. But look at how much worse this world is today. And look at what's happening to our nations. And we spoke to a guy right in the heart of Oklahoma just a few days ago who said that, you know, I feel like this world's going to collapse anytime. That's not even a member in God's church. He's just looking at what's happening to his nation, saying that it's all falling apart right in front of us. People are trying to figure out what they're going to do. There's people considering just moving abroad somewhere, or maybe getting into prepping for the end of the world, going out in the middle of nowhere, building a bunker, getting all of this frozen food or this food that will last for 20 years, and of course lots of guns and ammunition to go with it. Is there hope in that kind of a world? If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. There's just no hope in the world of today. But listen to this, verse 20, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead." And so this chapter talks about the two Adams. Jesus came, of course, as the second Adam. And he succeeded where the first Adam failed. He overcame the devil. He conquered the devil. He qualified to rule this earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm getting ahead of myself, though. Verse 22 says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." So there's a plan. There's a plan in motion. It was set in motion from the very beginning. Everyone's going to have an opportunity to participate in God's purpose and plan. I was into that subject a couple weeks ago. Verse 23, though, it says, "But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming." So here it says that there's a time order to this, the way that this is playing out. And it's all according to God's perfect timetable. I've taken you through 2 Peter 3 before, where, you know, it says about men, human beings are impatient. They look at God and they see slackness is the word used in Peter's epistle. Well, it's taking too long. What's the delay? I mean, if the world's about to fall apart, let's just cut to the chase and get on to the return of Christ. But look, it's unfolding just the way God intended for it to unfold. And he's giving people an opportunity, even now, to wake up and repent. To wake up and to consider their ways and to turn their hearts to God. He's our only hope. He's the only way out. He's our only sure protection. Notice Matthew 4. This is the titanic struggle, the battle between Jesus Christ and Satan the devil, the god of this world. Jesus came to replace Satan on the throne of this earth. He came to qualify first and then to replace him after that. And again, there's a time order to it. As part of his first century work and ministry, he also came as that lamb sacrifice, the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, Revelation 13:8. Some were thinking that Christ came then in the first century to be king. The Jewish leaders of the day saw him as a threat. And even some of the Roman authorities did as well, as the Jews told lies, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, saying that, well, he's a threat even to the Roman Empire. And of course, we know what eventually happened. But it was prophesied. He had to lay down his life as that lamb sacrifice for the sins of mankind. But he's coming back. He said so himself in John 14, if I go, I will come again. I'm getting ahead of myself again. Here's the titanic battle. Matthew 4, 1, it says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungry. So he was at this point, I mean, at his absolute weakest physically, but he was at his strongest spiritually. And that's what he needed to battle against Satan the devil, the prince of the power of the air. The Bible says to draw near to God and to resist against the devil, and the devil will flee from you. And here we have an excellent example of that happening or that playing out. 40 days of fasting, Jesus Christ drawing near to his Father in heaven. And then the devil comes and they have this exchange, verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if you be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then the devil takes him up to into the holy city and sets him down on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone. So here's Satan, the god of this world. He came into this titanic battle, and he sounded pretty religious. I mean, he's quoting scripture here. He actually quoted scripture. The devil, my father has written, the devil doesn't come with warlike rhetoric. He comes as an angel of light. He comes saying, hey, I'm just here to make peace. I'm just here to help the situation. But we've got to judge by fruits. We've got to look at his actions. We've got to look at what's actually happening. He quoted scripture, but he, of course, misapplies it or distorts it, twists it, perverts it. Verse 7, Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the eternal your God. Again, the devil took him up into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said to him, all these things will I give you if you will fall down and worship me. He offered him the kingdoms of this world. Satan, the devil, had those kingdoms to offer as God of this world. He presided over the world of Christ's day. And he said to Christ, I'll let you rule all these kingdoms that you see. If you'll just worship me, if you'll just bow down to me. You see how government is right at the core of this confrontation? Who's going to rule? Who's going to rule this earth? Satan offered Jesus the opportunity to rule, but only if he submitted to the devil's authority. Verse 10, it says, Then said Jesus unto him, Get you hence, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the eternal your God, and him only shall you serve. So this was the point that Jesus, as strong as he had ever been spiritually, this was the point where he decided to put an end to this colossal struggle and to snap at the devil with authority. Get thee hence. I worship God. I worship and submit to the Father in heaven. And what happens? Verse 11, then the devil leaves him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. See, Satan obeyed Christ. Jesus Christ had qualified to replace Satan on the throne of this earth. It really is true, James 4 and verse 7, where it says, Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He will leave if we draw near to God, if we submit to his authority, if we submit our lives to his government. Government is everything. I just read a quote in class last week where a Laodicean minister from years ago basically said, yeah, you don't really see anything about government in the Bible. I mean, that kind of craziness was happening to God's church just a few years after Herbert Armstrong died. Notice Isaiah 9 and verse 6. It says, For unto us a child is born, a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And verse 7 continues, Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Eternal of Hosts will perform this. The government's just never going to end. It's just going to keep growing and expanding. It's upon the throne of David there too. Notice that. God's family government, God's coming kingdom. You can see in Luke 1, 31 to 33, I don't have time to go through it, but it says there that Jesus was born to be king, and yet he said before Pilate, shortly before he was crucified, My kingdom is not of this world. It's not of this present evil world. He didn't come to set it up in the first century, obviously. He came and he qualified, though. And as he said, if I go, I'm coming again. He's coming again. He's coming shortly to establish the government of God on this earth, to rule this earth with a rod of iron, as it says in Revelation 2. And we in God's church, we in God's family will rule with him, will marry him, the Son of God, and be his complement, his helpmeet, the second Adam, supporting the second Adam as God establishes his world, a new world, the wonderful world tomorrow. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Call our operators for any of the literature we offer, 1-866-930-3024. In light of what we just discussed, Mystery of the Ages would be great. We appreciate you joining us on today's show, and we'll see you next week.